Thank you for joining us today. Whether you are part of the Lighthouse family, be it on-site with us weekly or tuning in online, we'd love to connect with you via our social media at Lighthouse Ely. It's on all our social media platforms. I hope this word encourages you and inspires you. Enjoy the message. Amen, amen. We're going to begin talking about the Holy Spirit. It's this time of year, Pentecost is coming up. And Pentecost, we know, is when Jesus rose up to heaven and sent his Holy Spirit. And we're going to read from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So if you've got a Bible, you can open to there. And this is one of the most commonly read scriptures, I think, when we think about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is doing. So the work of the Holy Spirit is kind of what we're talking about this morning. And a couple of words I want to concentrate on there. One is power, and the other one is witnesses. They're the kind of thing I'm going with at the moment, power to be a witness and what that means. Let's just open in prayer. Holy Spirit, when we talk about you, you always turn up. And Lord, let us understand the importance of your work in us and what you're doing to changing and transforming us, conforming us to your likeness and to your image, that you've made us new creations, that you've given us new life, and you've given us ability and power to be your witness here on earth, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, just like it is in heaven. Bring that here to earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So it says this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So this scripture serves as a little backdrop to the whole of Book of Acts and what that's about. Book of Acts, you know, they begin in the first eight chapters. They're in Jerusalem, and that's where God's working and the church is growing and the Holy Spirit is moving among them, and they're suffering persecution. So they pray for more of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit pours out again. So there's not just one outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts. It's a continual thing that they're being filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because in just before this, just to set a little context in there, he says, not many days, he says, stay in Jerusalem, not many days, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So to give them an understanding of what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is, he says, you know how John dunked people in water? That's how you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And the word baptism, of course, is the word to dunk or to submerge. That's what baptism means, baptismo. And we just, instead of translating it as dunk, we just copied the Greek word and made it sound English, baptism. But if you read it, not many days from now, you'll be dunked in the Spirit, submerged in the Spirit, just like John did in the River Jordan. That's the imagination there. So it's not that you're going to get a little sprinkling of the Holy Spirit. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you're going to be immersed in it, then almost going under and being surrounded and letting the Holy Spirit fill everything within you. And, you know, I love that picture. And that's my prayer, isn't it? And maybe your prayer too, that God would fill us so completely with his Spirit. Because how many know we can't do this in our own natural ability? You know, we can do it with the Holy Spirit. And I don't think we're meant to live the Christian life as if it's some kind of intellectual assent to a doctrine without the power. It says they understand the scriptures, but they deny the power of God. And we don't want to be ones that deny God's power working in us. And I think we can call on the Holy Spirit. And we can do that all the time, can't we? Say, come on, help me. Energize me, enthuse me, fill me once again, just like they did. It said, look upon their threats, that they want to throw us in prison, that they want to kill us, but look upon their threats and say, send your Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit filled them again. And then in Acts 10 and all through the book of Acts, you can see the work of the Holy Spirit, first in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and of course, to the ends of the earth, which they would have considered probably us as the ends of the earth from that Middle Eastern position there. So also the context is the disciples are asking Jesus, what about your kingdom? What about Israel? Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel at this time? And Jesus's answer was this. you shall receive power. It's not under your authority, my authority, it's under our Father's, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit. So Jesus' vision of this power or authority or ability was of a different sort. They would receive power, but it wasn't for political dominance, it wasn't for military conflict. It was the power of the Holy Spirit in them, transforming them and being equipped to be witnesses. So this says, he says, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the same power that I had, that you're going to have, to spread the gospel message of the kingdom of the promised Messiah. And of course, the kingdom is going to be restored because we see that in Revelation. But then you got the book of Acts is then that beginning, isn't it? And it's in Jerusalem where they are. Then, of course, it spreads and spreads and spreads until the ends of the earth. And that's where you see the Apostle Paul comes in after chapter 8, and then the gospel starts spreading further afield. But this is God's plan, to leave the Holy Spirit to empower them. And Jesus says, listen, it's good that I go. Because he says, I'm going to go, and it upsets them. And he says, well, if I don't go, I can't send the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will come. And that's his promise, isn't it? And it happens 9 days later as there's 120 of them gathered and they're praying. And I will get to the coming of the Holy Spirit in the next few weeks. But this is what the Holy Spirit's for. It's to be this witness. And that word witness is actually the word martyr or martis. It means that you are a legal, historical witness to an event that you have seen. It's almost like a courtroom scene where they swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and they are those witnesses. And Jesus says, I'm going to bestow you with this power to be my martyr. And we take the English word martyr, and it means someone who's prepared to die for their faith, and it's literally willing to tell people about Jesus, even if it costs my death. And the apostles then fulfill Jesus' commission. And of course, all but the apostle John were martyred for their faith. We know that historically. But the disciples still have this imagination that the Messiah is going to rule and reign. But we know that Revelation 20, you can see that that's happening. But Jesus is almost like saying, but before that happens, I've got a job for you to do. And they'll start preaching in Jerusalem, and you see the church growing, and the persecution comes, and they go in Judea and Samaria, and they begin to be this witness for this good news by the life that they're living. How many know it's not just the words you say, but it's the life you lived that backed up those words? And that was Jesus' problem with the religious people, is that they would say one thing but live another. And I think this is where the Holy Spirit's coming and saying, I want to empower you to be the kind of person that has the words to say, that the words that I give you to say. So there's no mismatch in the way I live, in the way I say. And I think that's how the Holy Spirit is working in them to be this witness, that complete package, that empowerment. That word power is actually the word where we get the word dynamic or dunamis. It is in the Greek. So it's that idea of a dynamo. You know, a dynamo gives, who used to have a bicycle with a dynamo on it, with a lamp? Yeah. So what happens is the wheel goes round, this little thing then turns, and then that turn gives that energy and then lights the light. So this is the kind of power that he's talking about. It's not explosive power. It's not like dynamite. They used a different Greek word for explosion, but this is more like it gives the ability to set in motion. So I'm going to give you this ability to set you in motion to be this witnesses. And it speaks of something that takes the minimal effort that we do, if you like, and then gives that power. So to be a witness, you have to open your mouth. But what the Holy Spirit's going to do is going to give you the words to say, and those words are going to come with the ability of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that when I speak, that the Holy Spirit is working in me and giving me the ability to speak and to speak the right words, and maybe not to speak the wrong words as well. So it's more than our natural abilities that when it comes to that courtroom witnessing, to tell you what's happened in my life. You know, people say, well, I can't be a witness for Christ. I don't know all the theology, you know, like some people. I don't know all the doctrines and I don't know all of that. But what you do know is that you're a witness to something that God has done in your life. And that's all he's asking them to do. Here I am, raised from the dead. Here I am giving you the Holy Spirit. Now go and tell people that this is what has happened. Be that witness to that resurrection, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to enable you to do that faithful preaching and faithful witnessing so that believing souls might be saved. Then this is the responsibility of all Christians to be faithful to that great commission. And the Holy Spirit is giving us the ability to testify to what God has done in our lives. And the Spirit begins to produce these miraculous results as Christ is lifted up and God is praised and all people are drawn unto him. So this is the Spirit's ability to tell people about Christ, what he's done in our lives, and to be able to live in a way that shows Christ's mission. So the Holy Spirit is working in us. And how God does this, Jesus says that you are born again. You are a new creation. You are born from above, if you like, or born by the Spirit. That the new nature of the Spirit that's in you is what enables you to live the life I've called you to live. So it's not about our self-effort. It's not just us trying to become better people. It's our submission to Christ working in us. This is the difference. I know Nathan spoke about it a while ago, about being a cultural Christian. A cultural Christian can be one that signs up intellectually to the ideas of Christ and his teaching and his ideologies and his belief system. And just saying that intellectually, what Christ said is true. And we can follow that and we can try and live the life that embodies in our own effort, try and live up to intellectually what Christ has taught. But they follow Christ, maybe they follow Christ simply because being an atheist has just got to be the most depressing thing in the world. You know, like there's the nihilism that comes with that, the hopelessness that comes with atheism. It's like, we don't want that. We're fed up with that atheistic mindset. We're fed up with anxiety, depression, and hopelessness, hopeless nihilism, that there's nothing more than what we can see with our eyes. But this is not the same. And if you compare that to someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit, that is living the life that God's calling them to be that witness to that resurrection and living that new creation life that is transformed by the Holy Spirit. We can't have Christianity without transformation. Because then you say people intellectually sign up, but their life doesn't change. Nothing changes about them. They're still dead in their sin and trespasses because all they're doing is signing up to a mental acknowledgement of some of the teachings of Christ, but maybe they don't take them all. But maybe they don't take the resurrection seriously, and maybe they're not living as that witness to that resurrection or witness to what how Christ has resurrected us. And we realize there's a difference. When we know the Holy Spirit's at work and we're no longer living to please ourselves, but we're living with this notion that God is working through his ability and his power in us to make us new creations, to make us want what he wants and to do the things that he wants us to do. That's what Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. And that is walking in the Spirit. That is living that life, living that Christian life of abundance of God's Holy Spirit working in us. This is the adventure that God calls us to. And this is the excitement that brings us out of our old life. Because some want to go back to their old life, but maybe they don't realize the working of the Holy Spirit and the adventure that God wants to take you onto by sharing your faith, by being that witness. Let me tell you what God has done for me, and he can do it for you too. And that confidence that came. You know, the disciples were running and hiding, weren't they, before the Holy Spirit came. You know, of course they were, because they're just these same authorities had crucified Christ. And of course they maybe disappeared off to go fishing or hiding in the upper room, if you like, gathering together and hiding in fear. But then something changed, didn't it? transformed them by the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that was because I think they became these new beings, these new creations, and they no longer cared about their old life. They laid down their old life, if you like, took up their cross and they followed him. So my first point, I'm doing very well for just to get to my first point after 20 minutes. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, the love of Christ controls us because we know one died for all, so all have died, and Christ died for all, so that those who live would not continue to live for themselves. He died for them and was raised from the dead so that they would live for him. This is the secret to Christ-like, spirit-led living, is to reckon that once we come to Christ, his spirit makes all things new. And that's where Jesus said, you must be born again. And this revelation comes that Christ died for me. He died for my sin. He died for that old life. But then also the revelation came that I'm no longer that old being that I used to be. That old life that I had before I came to faith in Christ was crucified with him. And now I no longer live to please myself, but I'm living for Christ. This is why Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, they are a new creation. That's why he says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away and all things have become new. The moment we come to Christ, we are born again by the Spirit of the living God. We are that new creation. This is how Christ-like, Christ followers are known. This is why they say in Acts 10, verse 38, that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that God gave him the Holy Spirit and power. And this is how we know God is with him, because he went everywhere doing good, healing all those who were ruled by the devil, because God was with him. I tell you, there's a calling to follow Christ, is to take up his work. Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit. His disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they too went around doing good and healing all who were ruled by the devil. I tell you, that's the place of authority which we've spoken about in recent weeks. But it shows that they began to live a life of spirit-led, spirit-filled, spirit-empowered life. And they left behind their old nature. And the Spirit gives them this new life. And this is something that they walk in daily. When you walk in the Spirit daily, you don't follow your old nature, because we are of the Spirit of God. That's the right way to look at ourselves. What spirit are you of? I am of the Spirit. And that's the nature of the new creation, is living by the Spirit. And some, I know, maybe they're early in their faith, and the difference between the line between how they used to live and how they know the Holy Spirit is empowering them to live, that line can be quite thin. And I say, I don't want to walk near that edge. I don't want to go there near that edge. I know if I go down that edge, I'm going to slip into that old way. But I want to live this way. You know, I don't like heights too much. So if I'm near somewhere where there's lots of heights, you know, I'm not going to go right near the edge, because I'm thinking, what happens if I fall? I'm not scared of heights. I'm scared of falling from heights. There's a big difference. Because I know what's at the bottom. You know, I don't want to be near that edge. And I don't want to live that way where I'm constantly being entertained by things of the world. And I don't want to be lived that way where, you know, things that would inflame my old nature, that I kind of skirt around them and I wonder, how close can I get without falling in? Well, you know, people like that, they fall in. You know, I don't want to be that. I want to be walking in the Spirit. I want to be able to judge myself. I want to be able to know myself and know the nature of my heart and know what spirit I'm from. You know, the disciples, there's a story, isn't there, where the disciples were rejected. And they come to Jesus and say, listen, these people don't like us. Shall we call down the fire of heaven and just destroy them all? And Jesus says, listen, you don't know what spirit you're from, because that's not from the Spirit of God. You know, if someone upsets you, you're going to call down hellfire. You know, don't judge them, Lord. Don't strike them from the earth because they cursed me. You know, we don't have that kind of attitude. What spirit are we from? We're spirit of love. We're spirit of forgiveness. You know, and sometimes I wonder if I had this lightning bolt power of God, you know, would I be tempted just to sort somebody out. And of course I wouldn't, no. But we judge ourselves, don't we? We judge ourselves and we say, listen, I'm not going near the edge because I know if I go near the edge, I'm going to fall off. You know, and I know for some that's, you know, that have had a problem with alcohol. And, you know, we talk to them all the time, you know, where they, if they have one little drink, they know that's it. They're going to be, then, you know, succumb to that. You know, and I say to them, you just can't. You can't go near that edge. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with alcohol, but, you know, alcohol influences you to make the wrong decisions. So if you know that and you know alcohol costs you more than money, then you need to avoid alcohol. I don't know why. That's for free, that one. Point number two, we want to live daily by the Spirit. We want to know that Spirit is influencing us. In Galatians 5, 16 to 18, he says, live by following the Spirit. Wow, there you go. There's one little bit of advice that you could follow for this week is live by following the Spirit, because then you will not do what your sinful selves want. Our sinful selves want is against the Spirit, and what the Spirit wants is against our sinful selves. The two are against each other. You cannot do just what you please, but if the Spirit is leading you, you're not under the law. So there's this juxtaposition between the Galatians, is that they began life in the Spirit, but then they were going back to the law and self-effort. They were going back to their old nature and the old way of doing things, and the old nature wants to demand and wants to take. You know, that's how lust works, isn't it? That if we're motivated by lust, then we want to take. But how many know that never satisfies? That leaves you empty and wanting more. But being filled with the Holy Spirit and continually filled is that we know that we are being led by the Spirit. Then, you know, we're not going to be judged by the old law, because the Spirit fulfills the law. And if we have the leading of the Holy Spirit, we know what kind of spirit we are. We walk according to the Spirit and the new nature. We don't want to go back to that old way of life where there's just misery and hatred and evil and bad thoughts and all those things that maybe would plague us in the past. You know, we don't want to go back to them. We want to be pure of heart, pure of mind. And the Holy Spirit purifies us and washes us and regenerates us by His Word. In Titus 3, Verse 3, it says this, in the past, you were foolish. We did not obey. We were wrong. We were slaves to the many things our bodies wanted and enjoyed. We spent our lives doing evil, being jealous. People hated us and we hated everyone else. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, was shown, He saved us because of His mercy. Not because of the good deeds we did to make us right with Him. He saved us through the washing that made us new people through the Holy Spirit. I love that. He washed us, renewed us, and made us new people through the Holy Spirit. And God poured out richly on us His Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Being made with God, right with God by His grace, we could have the hope of receiving the life that never ends. This teaching is true, and I want you to be sure that people understand these things. Then those who believe in God will be careful to use their lives for doing good, and these things are good and will help everyone. This is where Jesus went around doing good, healing all those who are oppressed of the devil, because the Lord, the Yahweh, was with Him. And this is it. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's easy to be kind and generous. It's easy to be loving. It's easy when the Holy Spirit is working through us. And what a difference the Spirit makes to our day. That washing, that cleansing, that forgiveness. You know, we want to walk in that. You don't want to walk around upset and angry and have bad thoughts about people. You want to walk in love, don't you? And forgiveness. And we don't want to walk and this is why he juxtaposed the law with the Spirit, because sometimes, you know, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but then the temptation is to try and get things in our own efforts. You know, I used to think, you know, Holy Spirit, fill me. But then there's so much wrong in my life. How can the Spirit come to me? How can the Spirit come to me when I'm not perfect? And maybe one day I'll be perfect and then God can fill me and God can use me. But, you know, and until I get this sorted out, until I get that sorted out, and you get into this pattern of self-effort And then the law comes in, and the law says, well, listen, of course the Spirit's not going to do this because, you know, you've disobeyed this law and that law. And Paul, he talks about this. He says, the law helped me, and I learnt, the law says, thou shalt not covet. But the thing that I wanted to do, I didn't do. And the things that I didn't want to do, I ended up doing those things. Who will deliver me from that? And he calls it the body of death. Who will deliver me from the body of death? And he says, I thank God that Jesus Christ can and does. You know, it's not just he finishes with this dilemma of trying to be this perfect person, trying to follow the law. He knows the answer is found in Christ. And he runs out of excuses, and doesn't he? He says, wretched man am I, but I thank God that the Holy Spirit is here and helping me in Christ. Christ is the answer. And the Holy Spirit gives us the knowledge and the ability to choose. You know, when you're in slavery to sin, slavery means that you've got no choice to do it. You've got no ability, no power to stop it. And your willpower is not enough to get you out of that sin. But we come out of that into the knowledge of God. Because Christ and his Spirit gives us the freedom to choose. The freedom to choose the right choice. And then people say, listen, this is just how I am. This is how I was born, this is whatever, and I can't change. I'm thinking, you're denying the power of the Holy Spirit when you say you can't change. Actually, you're probably true, you can't change. But are you denying the washing and regeneration of the Spirit of God, that you're no longer slave to sin and circumstances, that you've become a child of the living God, that you've been changed and transformed by that power, and you have the authority now to reject the old sin nature and live by the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability of the Holy Spirit, the ability and power to choose responsibly comes from knowing the Holy Spirit in you. If you're led by the Spirit, Galatians 5 verse 18 says, then you're not under the law. And the law tells us, this is right, this is wrong, this is the way to live, and this is the way we shouldn't live. But those filled with the Spirit and with the life of God would never think such evil to break God's law. That's why the Spirit of life in Christ sets us free from the laws of sin and death. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wants to fill us. And when the Spirit of God, it works, it cultivates that new nature. It keeps us in the love of God. It keeps us in the nature of God. And we don't want to go back and fellowship with darkness. Why would we go back when our Savior has paid such a huge price to set us free from sin and darkness? Why would we want to go and succumb to these things of evil ever again? We walk in the light, John says. And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have that fellowship with God. So we stay close to the Spirit. We stay far away from the things. We judge ourselves. We depend on the Holy Spirit. We ask for the Spirit of God to fill us completely. And we all have areas in our lives that can cause us problems, that can try and pull us back to that old way of thinking. But we've been delivered from these things and we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not just self-effort is the answer. It's my final point. We need the Holy Spirit. You know, we won't live that, we won't win that battle by self-effort. Oh, foolish Galatians, he says, who has bewitched you? Who was before your eyes? This is Galatians 3. That Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you this only. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you're now thinking you're going to be perfected by the flesh or by self-effort. Did you suffer so many things in vain, even if it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you works miracles among you? Does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness and right standing. Self-effort makes you tired, doesn't it? You know, you want to give up on giving up and to come out of self-effort, come out of that failure, come out of that place where you're always angry with yourself. You know, I hear that all the time. People have this self-hatred and the anger that comes with them and the frustration is because they know the way to go, and they know in their own effort that they fail. But self-hatred is not in the love of the Father. And it's the kindness of the Lord by which he saved us, it says in Romans. Not by works of righteousness we've done, but by the washing, regeneration of the new birth of the Holy Spirit. Often when we know our new life has begun in the Spirit, sometimes we think we can improve ourselves by self-effort, where actually sometimes we just need to surrender. Say, God, I can't. But you can. You can do this. You can work by your Spirit in me. You can change me and transform me. I'm not the person I used to be. Witness to yourself. Testify to yourself. Look how far you've come. Look what the Spirit of God has done in you. I know my time is up. Look what God has done in you and use that as a testimony for what God will do. That's what Joseph preached on last week. God will do it again. What he's done, he will do it again. He will do it for us. And then the ability of the Holy Spirit comes for us to be that witness that our life matches up with what we speak. You know, we saw Jesus full of the Holy Spirit, full of the nature of the Father. And the stories that we hear is Jesus is listening to what God is saying to him. And then he begins to live it out and does what the Holy Spirit. So how do we do this? First of all, delight yourself in God. Love him. Come to him in worship, in surrender. Live with those fruits of the Spirit in your life daily. Let him renew you, restore you daily. Meditate on the kindness and the goodness of God. Allow his Holy Spirit life to flow through us to others. This is God's saving grace. This is this daily walk with him as he transforms us and brings us into a place of surrender and acceptance. That God, that you can work in this. You've begun a good work in me and you will complete it. And you begin to live each day in the experience of the Holy Spirit living in you. And out flows love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. These things just flow from you as you fill with the Holy Spirit. And then God begins to use you to speak to others. You know, in words of knowledge and words of wisdom, and you lay hands on people and you pray for them and you start to see God working in you. And then you're surprised because it's like, I'm a human being. But God can work through me. And he can. So we ask, what happens if I'm not there yet? What happens if I'm living on this edge? What happens if I'm not able to judge for myself when I get too close to the edge? That's why we need fellowship one with another, don't we? We need someone to pull us back from the edge, or even before we get to the edge, say, come on, this is not you. You're a new creation. I think that's pastoring. Pastoring is the ability to see Christ in someone despite their humanness, despite their weaknesses, and say, no, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. He's given you his Holy Spirit. Come on. Come on, this is not you. This is not your life. But what happens if I get beaten up by my mistakes? Because that's what mistakes do. They beat you and then, you know, tempt you into doing wrong and then beat you up for doing it. You know, this is the work of the enemy. What do? I keep coming to church. I keep worshiping. I keep listening to the Spirit. I keep asking the Holy Spirit to fill me afresh and anew. I lift my hands in worship as an offering of service for my whole life. And it's not that God is waiting till you're good enough to fill you. He wants to fill you now. It's his kindness and the love of God manifest in us that he brings the Holy Spirit power, ability to be that testimony, to be that witness, to tell people, to live the life that he's called us to do from the new nature, to keep us in the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, to allow us to live free from the corruption of this earthly nature. Soon we notice, hey, we have this ability within us that the accusations against us fall flat because we're living and walking in the Spirit, that we're led by him, we're filled by him, and we're empowered by him. We're equipped. This is our prayer, that you might be equipped in every good thing, that the Holy Spirit would fill us afresh and anew. Let's just pray that right now. that the Spirit can give us the ability to be the witness for him, for Christ, that we can be the ones making disciples, teaching others in turn to make disciples, that we don't go near that edge, we don't go back into the life of misery and sin, we don't go back into the place where there's only heartache and failure, but we come into the place where we're led by your Spirit, filled by your Spirit, and empowered by your Spirit. Amen. Amen.